Would you take the shot if you have one free throw? If you make it, you get $10 million. If you miss, you can never text again.
You never text?
Text anybody again. Would you take the shot?
Well, I hate fucking phone calls, so I probably wouldn't.
I'll take the shot.
I'll take the shot very easily. I'll probably still miss, but whatever.
Who's going to know?
They're going to know.
They're going to know.
Who's going to know who you texted?
They're going to know. Welcome to another Magic City podcast, guys. For those of you watching on YouTube, welcome. And for our 198 streaming podcast services.
Where do you get your numbers from?
Where he gets the numbers from?
I look at the analytics report every time before we record.
Which one?
Do you look at the analytics report on crack?
Shit, a little bit. I take off my glasses, so
that explains a lot.
We are on all major streaming platforms, mostly Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and Audible.
Audible,
yeah. But we're also on Podbeam, and make sure you follow us on Magic City Comics, where we have our link tree for all possible options. For those of you tuning in for the first time, we are
Paul Magic City Comics,
George Marvel Bobby,
Jimmy J-Mark Collectibles.
Jimmy, hold on a second. If we don't do it, then it goes bad.
You know what? I wanted to test.
Yes.
I wanted to test it. Yes. This one podcast.
You have to see. We got to say it, man. Because if not, the algorithm gods will be disappointed.
That's true. And they get angry.
And then the algorithm just goes out of whack.
Make sure to like and subscribe and hit that bell, guys.
Hit that bell, leave a comment, and do all that stuff that you do on YouTube.
I was trying to change things up, see what happens, you know?
But you have to address
the algorithm gods have to be paying attention.
You have to address the algorithm gods. If not, they become angry.
They were tapping him on the shoulder.
They were tapping?
Well, yeah, now we got to go like sacrifice a chicken or something, man.
Well, we are in Miami, so
you know how it works, yeah.
That's very easy. So today we are talking about the summer movie blockbusters. All the movies that are coming out on either theater release, streaming platform, any which way for the summer. So this is our summer movie blockbuster preview. So are you going to insert like dramatic music right there?
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. Thank you. So guys, the official summer movie season kicked off with Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We already saw it. Listen to our review. Got a lot of feedback and commentary on that one.
Yes.
You know, people were telling me, now I completely understand what plot holes are. I'm like, thank you. I just want to make sure you guys were good with that. But there's a... This is going to be like the first summer people go back into the movie theaters.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, 2020, everybody was shut down. 2021, it was sporadic. But this is the first big one because a lot of these movies have been postponed because of it.
Yeah, a lot of these movies are ready to go. But they've just been waiting for this whole COVID thing to go away.
Yeah. And this is also the first summer where we're not going to have, like, the twin releases, like theater and streaming.
True.
Yes. Like because a lot of movies last year did that. They did limited release, and they also streamed either on HBO Max or Netflix or any other streaming platform.
Right. So they're back to their windows. The windows are shorter now, but they're back to at least a 30-day window.
Yeah.
So theater owners right now, they're like, yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
They're that meme of like when the gas station owners here in South Florida with the hurricane season.
Yeah. You know? No, and if anything, if those screenings for Strange are what's coming for them, they're in for a good summer.
I mean, Strange got the fifth highest Marvel opening ever?
Marvel?
Yeah. It was up there.
Because they were like the 11th like all time. Right. So yeah, they might be.
Yeah, might be up there. I mean, think about Endgame, Infinity War, Spider-Man, No Way Home. So, all right, but let's get to it. What's coming out? My nephew's favorite movie of the summer will probably be Jurassic World Dominion.
I'm excited for that one, actually.
I totally get it. My inner child is also excited for it.
Yeah.
I like it that you get the original cast back.
Yeah.
The original and the new.
Yeah.
So it's like you have this is the passing of the torch or everybody's joining together.
Right.
I just want to see Jeff Goldblum. Like, see how he reacts.
And Laura Dern, man.
Laura Dern, Sam O'Neill.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we got Goldblum like as a tiny cameo in the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice didn't the other guy come? Didn't Sam O'Neill come out too?
No.
No.
No, this is the first time he comes out.
Really? No, the scientists that he was in the original Jurassic Park movies. He came out in the following ones.
Oh, okay.
The Chinese scientist that basically created the...
The strain, right?
The crossbreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm pumped about this one. Not gonna lie.
I'm excited. I want to see it.
I want to see, like, a big battle. Now, dinosaurs, for those of you that don't know, dinosaurs are on the mainland.
Yeah. So
it's humans and dinosaurs living all together.
Right, because it follows up from the last one, that they escape that auction house or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they get into the city.
Which I'm kind of glad they got there, because in the books, in the second one, the dinosaurs make it onto the mainland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, didn't in the first trilogy they make it onto the mainland in San Francisco?
No, there's one T-Rex that gets out. And
I think one is enough.
This is like dinosaurs left the island and got to the mainland. So they were like, they've been procreating. In the book, they were like procreating in the land and they started creeping into people's houses and stuff.
The funny thing is, one of the big premises, Blue the raptor, has a child.
Yeah.
And they're like, that shouldn't happen. So it's like nature always finds a way.
Well, we already knew that something that wasn't supposed to happen that was happening in the original trilogy. Where, like, they saw that the dinosaurs were procreating.
Yeah, laying eggs and all that. Yeah, because of that frog DNA, right? Because the frog DNA causes frogs to be able to...
They were all female.
Because they all change according to what needs to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Because in the original one, they were all female. And then some of them started changing to male to be able to procreate.
Yeah. All right, cool. So Jurassic World Dominion, that's one of them. Just going back on that whole train of old is new again, Top Gun Maverick.
I wasn't a huge fan of the original, but I'm excited for this one.
I thought you had the beach volleyball poster in your room when you were a kid.
I still do, but
okay.
Doesn't mean I was a fan of the movie, though.
Dude, I was when that movie came out, when I saw it as a kid, I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
I didn't understand what the themes for the volleyball scene was until I got older. But dude, the dogfighting in that movie, I don't know how it's gonna happen now. There's no dogfighting now, so I don't know what they're gonna make up for those scenes, since that kind of warfare doesn't exist and hasn't existed for a long time. But I'm still excited to see it.
What I'm curious is, and based on the trailer, I think the flight scenes look amazing. The camera angle that they show from, like, in the cockpit, and you see, like, the vapor trails coming off of the wings, and just, like, the footage of the flying looks impressive. Looks a lot better than the original.
Of course. The original used models.
Yeah.
Which, if you go back and watch it, the fact that those are models,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Fantastic.
Tom Cruise actually flew that plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. He was on some show the other day, and he's like, yeah, I have 17 licenses, a helicopter, a jet fighter, a big rig. Like, he does a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Because he does a lot of his stunts because he's on local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When but you're like the head of Scientology, you do whatever you want.
That's true. But I think he's the only one coming back, right?
Well, they do give a little homage to
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, Iceman, which, poor guy. I mean, if you guys don't know, throat cancer killed him.
Yeah,
it killed his career. Not career, because he had that documentary, but he had to get, like, his jaw, like, half removed. Yeah.
He's got the
voice box. Yeah. So, and they also do a nod to Goose, because that's who Miles Teller's character is.
Yes,
it's the son.
The dad, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Goose, Anthony Edwards.
But the girl isn't in it.
The girl?
No, it's Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
So and she's the one that's supposed to play it.
Because Meg Ryan was Goose's wife in the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, you know what I didn't realize was in Top Gun? Oh. Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was in the movie.
He's one of the pilots.
I didn't until
he's one
of the other pilots. Mentioned it right now.
I was going through like this thing that they show, like, you know, the actors then and now. Yeah. And towards the back of the list, I see Tim Robbins, like, wow, that's new to me. I don't remember him.
Yeah. That's funny.
But dude, that I used to play every flight game available. I played because of Top Gun. Like, well, Sega CD and all those. Oof.
Let's throw it off a little bit here. Does anybody remember playing Top Gun for the NES?
No.
Anybody out there, if you guys remember playing Top Gun for the NES, it was a cool game because it was, you know, from the perspective of the pilot, and you had, like, the heads-up display and the cockpit and that stuff. But it was impossible to land on the carrier. It was impossible.
You know what? I think I played that game once. I crashed the plane every time.
Yeah, like, either you came up short or you overshot the carrier. I never saw anybody, or I never did it, but I never saw anybody actually be able to land the plane on the carrier. If anybody did it, let me know.
I remember playing that game with my brother. Well, I think we rented a Blockbuster. I don't know if we had it or not.
I had it.
Yeah.
But it's to me, it was impossible to do. You follow the directions perfectly and never got it, man.
No, the beauty of those old games. One more thing before we keep going. I'm going to try to one-up you here. Oh. Afterburner.
Yes.
I wasted every quarter, dollar, whatever I had as a kid. If Afterburner was in the arcade, I owned it for as long as I had money.
Yep. That was a good game.
That game was insane. It was one of those where it moved around. Yeah. Oh, all I did was do circles and try to blow shit up. Yeah.
For those of you that are not watching on YouTube, George's hand just went in a circle.
I did. Went in a circle.
Like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, exactly.
That was, to me, was that the was coolest thing that had ever been made as a kid.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, jumping off the nostalgia, some original movies. Thor, Love and Thunder. That's honestly the one I'm pumped for.
I'm super pumped.
Dying to see that one.
Like, Natalie Portman jacked with Mjolnir. And I hated Thor 1 and 2. But Thor 3, I was just like, that's the way it should have been done.
I didn't hate 1. I liked 1.
I enjoyed the first one. It's a good way to bring them out. The second one, you can burn it.
I mean,
the second one was just because of the Reality Stone. That's it.
But the first one was, you know, Marvel, the MCU was in its infancy. Yeah. So,
yeah. They introduced Hawkeye.
Right.
Yeah. It's also like, you know, that was them taking a risk. They had like, a Shakespearean actor. You had Kenneth Branagh directing a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That was like very different.
Yeah.
And look, come on. When in that end credit scene, when you see the hammer land in the desert.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, shit, they're going to bring Thor. Like, Thor's coming.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, because it was before when it was Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
That was the catalyst with all of it. I can't wait. Apparently, they say, I've been reading some articles, that Christian Bale, Gore, the God Butcher, will be ranked as the villainous villain of the MCU. I'm like, that's a pretty big title to get.
Oh, okay. That's Taika pumping it up, too, which...
I mean, Taika hasn't disappointed.
Well, yeah. He is great.
He hasn't disappointed.
My name is Korg. I'm made out of rocks.
My favorite was when he was playing video games.
Yeah.
Thor, he's back. He's back.
From the preview, I just like Chris Hemsworth's portrayal. He just looks like this oblivious guy from the 80s. Like, he plays the part, you know?
Yeah.
He looks like he's just freaking just... chilling, man. Like, he has like no care in the world. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how he plays the character this time around.
My favorite is in the trailer, they have the montage that he's working out because he can't be Fat Thor anymore. Right. And he's wearing a trucker hat that says Strongest Avenger.
Yeah. But I do like the direction of Thor they've done in the movies, you know, because that's a character that could be very boring.
Right.
And they turned him into like a heavy fan favorite. You know, like that wasn't like a heavy favorite Marvel superhero for years. You know, he had the cool look, but, and he was an Avenger.
Yeah.
But for a long time, like, he was just like the Norse god dude that talked funny.
And and if they would have continued down that path, it would have just wrecked him.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't have been the star that he is now, and he wouldn't have been as entertaining. Like, I think the character arc they've given him at making him funny and interesting is what's really helped.
And so we've gotten the swan song for all the Avengers. Hulk will probably get his swan song in She-Hulk.
Right.
Like Hawkeye got it in the show. Do you think this is the end for Hemsworth as Thor?
I don't think so.
He said he wants to keep doing it. He has said that repeatedly. Like, he'll just keep going.
And I think as long as Taika's on there, I think he'll keep going.
Yeah, and Taika will be like, I'll keep making Marvel money. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't think it's his end.
No?
Nah.
It'd be shocking if it is. I agree. But if like they end it like...
Yeah.
It'd be shocking, especially since you still have Loki out there.
Right.
So it's like, what's going to happen? Are they ever going to sync up again or anything?
And I don't think this is Natalie Portman's taking over the helm as Thor. I think this is just for, you know, one shot for this movie and that's it.
It might be because I don't know what her, who knows, maybe she enjoyed, because I know she didn't like her first two, which is why she walked away from it.
It'd be interesting if we have two Thors. You know, one that does some things and one that does another.
Could be.
Because you can't have technically that two would be Thors.
Cool. We've had them.
Thor and, yeah, we've had them in
we
the
had
comics.
Him in the comic.
Right.
So, all right. So that's Thor, Love, and Thunder. Another movie that I'm extremely pumped for is Nope.
Yes.
Yes.
From Jordan Peele.
Yes.
What was the other one?
You had Us.
Us.
Us was phenomenal if you guys haven't seen it. And no, the first one that he came out with.
Yeah, it was a. Don't say
no. It was
it wasn't. Don't say a word. No.
Us was the one with the scissors.
Yeah. Us was the one with the parallel dimension.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where the song for the trailer was like, I got five on it.
Yeah.
That was literally one of the best movies and one of the best like psychological horror movies. Yes. What was the name of the other movie?
I'm going to tell you now because it's... Get Out.
Yes.
That was a scary movie.
Yeah, that was creepy.
It was, and... Dude, who would have thought Jordan Peele?
I got super uncomfortable. Like I had to lock my doors. I'm like, is that some family
from Us or Get Out?
Well, from Get Out.
Oh yeah, but it was crazy. And
Jordan Peele is like a modern day Hitchcock.
That's exactly where I was going from a comedic actor to this. And the funny thing is, you have to watch his movies several times just to get the irony and just the little key scenes that he puts in there that are basically supposed to mean more.
Right.
There's this one scene in Get Out where Allison Williams has a cup of white milk and she has a bowl of Fruit Loops. And she dunks every individual Fruit Loop into the bowl of white milk. He says, he's like, you know, that sort of family and mentality, the whites don't mix with the colors. Like, just that sort of imagery and right. That sort of portrayal.
The
like,
details, yeah.
I was just like, that was impressive.
Jordan Peele, man, he goes from freaking slap ass to freaking a horror master.
Yeah.
He goes from D-Nice.
Yeah.
No, that was
key. That was the other guy, yeah.
That was key, yeah.
But, I mean, I compare him to, in the horror aspect of it, to Hitchcock. Or you could compare him to M. Night Shyamalan. Because he kind of...
At the beginning.
He kind of took over that mantle of, you know, like these horror movies that were just kind of like mind benders.
Yeah.
And then I think Jordan Peele is just taking it to another level.
Well, he's like Shyamalan. If Shyamalan knew how to end his movies.
Yeah.
his problem is he doesn't know how to end his movies, which is a shame because they start off great.
That's true. That is true. The thing with Shyamalan, too, is like a lot of his movies are predictable. So, at least I thought.
Well now you know there's a massive plot twist at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Because they're all exactly the same.
Right.
Yeah.
There's something I saw from it didn't have when I was like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Jordan Peele doesn't do... like little cameos, right, in his movies?
No.
So he, because like, Shyamalan did that, like, yeah. like Hitchcock would do it.
That's his thing. He like because his whole thing was Hitchcock, right. And, you know. So that's why he would put himself in the movies.
So,
but Alfred Hitchcock, I just had like you know the way he looked.
Yeah,
like you could pick him out like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm not Shyamalan. You're like, who's that guy?
So the Hitchcock movies are mind fucks to begin with, but he was an asshole.
Yeah,
like he would torture Tippi. During Birds, and he would do a whole bunch of things to get the actors in the mindset right. That was like borderline abuse.
Yeah.
Whoa, he was trying to get an actual reaction out of them, not like them acting. He wanted a real fear.
Yeah, I know, which is a little fucked up.
Yes. And there's some directors that are like that. They want to get that real fear, and they'll try to, they'll do stuff like that where they're kind of like assaulting them.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like physically, but they'll do that, or they might pit cast members together, like against each other,
to
initiate that kind of like hatred towards each other. Like they want something, and they'll try to make sure that something happens to get that reaction. They make sure they film.
Right. Yeah,
I growing up, I used to watch Hitchcock movies all the time. They were freaking great.
And what I like about Hitchcock is that he wasn't just horror. He would do like thrillers, and he would mix it up. And I see like Peele doing that same kind of thing, where even in the same movie, he'll mix genres up.
I liked watching Hitchcock and The Twilight Zone.
Yes. The Twilight Zone was amazing.
Yeah. The back in the day.
It was now, great that, stuff. That show was creepy as shit.
Tales of the Crypt also when we were younger.
Tales of the Crypt was kind of more
like horror comedy campy.
Yeah, but we were also younger, so there were some that I was like, damn, that got me.
Yeah, some of them were pretty bad, but I mean, some of them, to me, it was more...
It always felt funny that the Crypt Keeper, so it started with comedy first before you got into horror, and Twilight Zone was always like, some shit's going down.
Like, some of the themes touched on the Twilight Zone, you're like, damn, that's creepy. Like, that's some of the stuff, like, you know, you lock your door and sleep with a light on because you're like, shit, man.
No, there's good ones, and we'll do a review on the Twilight Zone and on the top five episodes because those are worth rewatching every once in a while.
Oh, that whole series is worth rewatching, man.
Dude, I'll never forget the episode where he's the last man on Earth, and he finally gets time to read, library, everything like that, and the glasses crack. His glasses fall. It's like he's living in his own hell.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's just the irony that gets lost on kids, but you get it as an adult.
And plus, what is it, Jim Sterling? As the narrator?
Yes.
When that dude comes out, you're like, oh, shit. It's going to get real now, man.
Imagine.
Yeah. the way he spoke.
Yeah.
The language he used and like just the words and how he pronounced things, man. You're like, shit.
I think it's also the way people talked back then.
Yes.
There's a way.
That was actually one of William Shatner's first acting jobs.
Right.
He was on the Twilight Zone. He was the one with the gremlin on the plane.
On the airplane, yeah.
So.
It's a cool episode.
It is.
And if you've never seen Twilight Zone, you probably have. You just don't know it because a lot of the Treehouse of Horrors from The Simpsons are based on old Twilight Zone episodes.
Yep.
So, and then speaking about old, you know, comics and scary stuff, Elvis.
I'm curious to watch that movie.
I'm curious. Like, it has Baz Luhrmann,
Tom Hanks,
and who's the actor? Austin Butler or Ross Butler?
I forgot the kid's
name. It's one. He's a young kid.
Yeah, he's an up and comer.
He looks the part, though, man.
He does.
Yeah, it's Baz Luhrmann, so you're going to have a high production value, like musical, shiny, bright, all in your face.
Yeah.
Man, I like it that they start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, from his up and coming, you know, obviously as a child, but then as, you know, when he does his first show, people are, like, booing him and talking shit about his long hair.
Well, the men are booing him. The girls are going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning, everybody's just there waiting for him to do something.
Yeah. And little comic reference. Baby Elvis was reading a Captain Marvel Jr. comic.
Yeah. Yep, sure was.
So that was very cool. But no, yeah, I'm pumped about that one. Like all these, I don't know what you want to call them. Like they talk about musicians like Rami Malek in Queen.
Yeah.
Like they always do produce good,
right.
good movie going experiences. So.
Well, that one for sure at least will look nice.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think of Baz Luhrmann's movies, they look very nice.
And then I think what's going to be a top comedy of the summer, Bullet Train. This is the one with Brad Pitt where he's an ex-assassin and he has to steal a briefcase.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to kill anybody anymore.
That looks interesting.
It has an all-star cast. That's a
crazy cast on that one.
Yeah.
It has, who was the god in the Eternals? Pathos.
Yes.
Is in it. Kick-Ass. Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Bad Bunny.
Man,
can't stand that guy.
Don't be a hater, bro.
What?
Don't be a hater, man.
Don't be a hater. Just a bunch of. It looks funny. It looks comedic. It looks like one of those like. It gave me a little bit of Ocean 11 vibes. Like it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Right.
Yeah. No. It looks like a fun ride.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. It's a whole movie that takes place on a bullet train.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna fly off that thing.
Multiple people. Yeah. And it has Scorpion.
Finish him.
Yeah, the actor that played Scorpion. So those are the major blockbusters that are coming out this summer. There are also some other releases. One that I know you hate nostalgia, Paul, but I'm pumped for. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
I'm actually excited for that one.
I do want to watch that.
I'm actually excited for that.
When I saw the trailer, I'm like, okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah, it looks fun.
And I think Andy Samberg and John Mulaney as the voice of Chip and Dale
go
perfectly with the characters.
Yeah. And that's Disney Plus.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
So that one
I'm excited for.
I was reading up a little bit on it. The premise is cartoons are missing and they don't know where they're going, but the reason they get back together is because Gadget went missing.
Right.
So they have to like get together to get their friend back.
Right.
So that was cool. Can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
And then I think George could be the best one to talk about this one. Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers. I was surprised when they announced that movie that was coming out last year. That's like a little show that could. That's another one of those Fox shows that was, you know, got canceled, and then they got big on Adult Swim, and then Fox brought it back. Like they got kind of like the same deal with the Family Guy, and still going. There's a new season going on right now.
Okay.
So I was surprised. It's a show about a family. They own a the little burger restaurant. They live upstairs. It's the guy, you know, the voice of the main guy is the guy from Archer.
Oh, okay.
There's an episode of Archer that like goes into he disappears, and when they go get him, he's hiding out as a family that owns the burger place. And they're all drawn the same, and then he gets taken away from his family.
They make a little thing. Little known fact: Adult Swim has been responsible for bringing back three shows.
Yeah.
It brought back Family Guy, which was the first show ever to be brought back from cancellation. Futurama did so well that they made the four movies and then they brought it back for a couple more seasons.
No, but I think Futurama came back because of Comedy Central. Comedy Central had it.
No, but it was also on Adult Swim.
Yeah, but it was after, like, when Comedy Central
made the movies.
Is the one that brought them and produced the new seasons and the
first it was the four movies, then it was the new seasons, and it's coming back again.
Yeah,
is it
coming back again? I'm pumped. Right, yeah. I love that show.
That show is one of those that as the seasons went on, like, it got better and better.
Yeah,
and to the point where they were like, there was like dramatic episodes. Like, right. Oh, shit.
And then I thought, so if you haven't seen Futurama, watch it. It's a great show. But the way they ended it the second time, I thought was the perfect ending.
Okay.
Like Fry and Leela, no spoilers, but it was a perfect ending to the show. So I'm curious what they're going to do now.
What's your favorite episode?
Futurama? I like Gender Bender, where Bender has to play a female wrestler.
That's a funny one.
Yeah.
But my favorite one is the one with Fry's dog.
Oh, that's a sad one.
That's a super sad one. You find out that his dog, when he disappeared, because he finds like his dog encased in like amber. Like they find him, he's preserved. And the whole thing is like he doesn't know if he wants to bring him back, and because what if he lived his whole life? And at the end, you find out the dog was waiting for him at the restaurant every day until he died.
Damn.
Waiting for Friday to come back. That was sad.
Because that was a take on the Japanese dog Haki, or that he waited for his owner. His owner died at work, and he waited for his owner every day, and everybody knew him at the train station.
Damn. Yeah, the episode ends with like a montage of like the years of like the pizza place until the pizza place closed, and the dog's still waiting there until he finally, you know, passes away of old age.
Yeah. You know who else is waiting? Buzz Lightyear.
He is.
He's waiting.
Paul's not a fan.
I'm never a fan of Toy Story to begin with.
You were or were not?
I were not.
Okay.
I was not.
You were not?
I were not. He said we're not. I wasn't a fan of Toy Story. Honestly, I never watched them, but I never really cared for the story of it.
I enjoyed the first one. Part 3 was excellent. And then the fourth one.
For those of you not looking on YouTube, Paul just gave George a face saying,
okay. Yeah, Paul didn't care. It's okay. They're well made. I'm interested to see this because it's a movie based, it's a movie within a movie. It's a movie that the Buzz Lightyear toy is based off of.
Right.
So that's the movie Andy would have seen.
Yes, that would have wanted him to get the toy.
This is the movie that Andy would have seen that would have gotten him to get the toy.
I'm not going to lie. Chris Evans' voice.
That sounds good.
Well.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty freaking close to what is it, Tim Allen.
Yeah, like the non-goofy version.
Yeah, man. Like, wow. At first, I didn't even realize it was Tim or Chris Evans, man.
Yeah, when he starts in the trailer, when he's like, mission log. Like, yeah. You go back to that scene.
It's like, wow. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably watch it.
I'll probably wait till it's on streaming.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. Like, I'm not going to go to the movies to watch it later.
I'll definitely watch it when it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah. One movie that I think all three of us are going to watch in the movie theaters is Minions, Rise of Gru.
Dude, I'm getting tickets when they come release, man. Holy shit.
We're talking about this. Dude, we saw the trailer for what we saw. Up, man.
They're funny. They are funny.
They're funny, but whoever made that trailer was on crack. I don't know what the hell was going on. You saw it, right?
Yeah.
There was so much going on. You have no idea what this movie's about.
Dude, I could have watched that trailer like back to back like five times. I would have been happy, dude. That fucking trailer was amazing, man.
Yeah, no. I love those movies.
I was like, I'll watch. I don't know what the hell's going on, but
dude, the part that got me was when he's breaking the board, when Kevin's trying to break the board, he doesn't do it, and he passes out, and then the other guy comes all like ready to do it, and he picks up Kevin and starts smashing the starts smashing Kevin against the board. That was great.
It's fantastic. Oh man. Yeah, I can't wait for that one. One that I could really care less about seeing is DC Super Pets.
Oh, I thought that would be a jam.
Yeah, no, bro.
That's too much DC.
Dude, watch that movie be interesting, man. Watch that be like a sleeper.
You think so?
I think so, man. Nothing like in the big picture or anything, but I think the movie itself, as a movie, I think it's gonna be good.
Are you basing that just because of the cast that's in it? I mean, it's an impressive cast. I just don't know.
It's an impressive cast, but I think the story. I think the story of the Super Pets. I think we're gonna get a story that you've never seen before.
What, animals getting powers?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just crypto, and then the rest of them get powers through something.
Right.
I think the heroes lose their powers, and then the pets get the powers.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by that movie. Could be wrong, but...
Yeah, no. Well, we have the receipts. We'll check it. That's true. We'll check. We'll go back. Receipts.
I mean, it's not like anyone's going to get disappointed watching that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're going in with very low expectations, so anything that happens... is going to work. You know what's funny? Going back to our Warner and Discovery merger, Warner Brothers has killed everything.
Yeah.
They killed Wonder Twins. They've canceled all the shows on the CW except Flash.
Yeah, they even canceled stuff that was coming down the pipeline.
They canceled Naomi.
They canceled Naomi after one season.
Huh? I forgot that was on, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're canceling a lot.
Well, they've canceled a bunch of CW shows.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, like, all the networks, I think with the pandemic being over, they just axed everything. Because I was looking at everybody's axing everything. What the hell is going to be on TV next year?
Something new. Something fresh. Thanks. No, it is. they just want to throw... It could be crap. They just want something new.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And with CW, that's another monster because they might not exist soon. I mean, they're trying to sell them off. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably another reason why they're canceling everything.
And then one more that I want to see that's animated is Rise of TMNT.
I don't care for that.
Like, it's a new generation. It's on streaming, so that's the only reason I'll watch it when it comes out.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's part of the Netflix deal with
Is Turtles. That based off, like, the current cartoon?
It's based off the current iteration of the Turtles, which Raphael's the leader, not Leonardo.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Raph was always supposed to be the leader.
The depressed guy is always the leader now?
The angry guy. So
the angry guys, let's just fuck everything up.
Not the smart guy that, you know, all tactical. He's getting like the freaking guy that's all pissed.
The hothead.
And then, yeah. Then one I know that we're all pumped for and glad that Ethan Hawke is back for, The Black Phone.
Yes,
that's scary as hell.
That movie looks freaking sick, man.
Guys, if you haven't seen it, look at the trailer for The Black Phone. Like, it is a creepy trailer. It's made by Blumhouse Productions, which is just a horror slasher slaughterhouse that they make all these movies. But it does look great.
That mask, man. That mask he wears looks fucking evil. Shit.
Basically, he's in the 70s and he kidnaps kids and he kills them. But then he gets this one kid that actually can talk to the dead children. And it's just the way it's unraveling. It's interesting.
And like, all the kids leave a clue.
Yeah.
On how to get out, and then they all try to explain it to him so this kid can actually escape.
On the black phone. Yeah, it looks like the kid that's in there, the spirits of the children that died before him are trying to help him get out.
But there's that one scene where the kid gets out, he opens the door and gets out, and Ethan Hawke's character just sitting on the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Just like, looks like he's asleep with a mask on. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, even the trailer was tense because he's trying to, like, walk away without making a noise.
Hey. No, the trailer was super tense.
Yeah. No, it's...
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, it's good to see Ethan Hawke back. He did well in Moon Knight, but it's good to see him back. And a nice little hometown movie for us, Father of the Bride, the remake, with Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan.
It's a Cuban-American
family. No, it's here. They're Cuban-American family. Oh, really? They filmed it all in Miami. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know... I knew there was a remake coming. I didn't know it was with Andy Garcia.
Okay, hold on a second. So you're going to remake Father of the Bride, right? A classic movie, you know, back in the day with
classic comedy,
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy Garcia. I could buy that.
Yeah.
But Gloria fucking Estefan?
That's just the wife. Miami Sound Machine, bro.
She's just the wife.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Get another freaking, get a better actress. Who the fuck is Gloria Estefan?
Dude, Gloria Estefan.
Well, for you and me and for us, Gloria Estefan. For everybody else, nobody knows who the hell Gloria Estefan is.
She was a local. Remember, for a good 10 years, she was known nationwide.
In the 80s.
Well, remember, Emilio Estefan was a massive movie music producer.
No, he's legit.
Yeah.
He's legit, but come on.
And she was Gloria Estefan in the Miami Sound Machine.
Bro. She was huge. And then he took her out of the Sound Machine.
She was big in New York. She was big in L.A. Obviously, predominantly Hispanic markets.
Bro, they could have picked...
Well, remember, any other actress. That's just for the movie.
I know.
You know, the wife doesn't have
like
a bunch of lines. Unless
somebody freaking owed
the wife
a favor, man. Because shit, the cast. I mean, what was the last movie Gloria Estefan did? Thank you. Wait, did Gloria Estefan ever do a movie?
That's what I was thinking.
No, she's been in. I've seen her in movies. And in movies, like one or two where she's just like, hey, look.
Not well, like her hometown, not like bro.
I get it. But fun little fact here. You know, I'm gonna admit to something. Uh-huh. Back in 1998, one of my first jobs was working at AMC Theaters, right? Uh-huh. And it was the one by Mall of the Americas that doesn't exist anymore, right? And Gloria Estefan and Emilio were always there. Like, that's the theater that they will go to watch a movie. I guess, you know, they could just sneak in there and you know, watch a movie and go home. And they would come in, you know, with a hat. And they were cool. Like, when people recognized them, they would always, you know, say, you know, hey, how's it going? They would take pictures and stuff. So one day, me and my buddy, we saw them go into one of the theaters. And we were bored as shit, man. We're like, you know what, fuck it. So we all, like, we go to the theater. We open the door and be like, Emilio, I love you. And then we go up, and then like 10 minutes later, Gloria!
Did they do anything?
Dude, they came. I guess they always have like a rep with them or whoever, or like an assistant.
Yeah.
And one of them came out, but like we worked there, so we were just like, you know, like pretending we were sweeping.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, does anybody come in here and like scream something? We're like, nah, man, we just got here. So Gloria and Emilia, if you're watching, that was us, man.
That was Paul, guys. Yep. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was freaking hard. And they didn't go after that.
They didn't go after
that? No. I never saw them again.
They probably went somewhere else. Yeah. We ruined it for them.
Oh, yep. Damn, Paul.
I know.
Damn, Paul single-handedly kicked Emilio and Gloria out of Mall of America.
Yeah. That was your sanctuary, and you ruined it.
Coño. Okay.
That's funny.
That is funny. And I don't know how we can end the... that's like the perfect ending for the podcast.
Emilio. Emilio, I love you.
Hell, hilarious.
That is funny, dude. It's all the first jobs. We're all teenagers. We're all...
Yeah, exactly. You
know, eating crap. So.
Hey, look, I'm talking shit about Gloria Estefan, but I mean, she you know, she has her marriage. She had her, you know, she had her time, and yeah, she was like a staple in the music industry. And Emilio, you're not going to get into the Spanish music scene without Emilio's blessing.
Man. Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't give you the blessing, you ain't going to go anywhere, man.
Yeah.
And he's brought up artists like Pitbull, Mark Anthony, all those people have had the Emilio touch, and the guy's a mogul, man.
Yeah, you know, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows the formula. He knows what it takes to be successful.
And he's a musician.
Yes. Which is always helps when you can do it.
Well, he's an excellent musician. He plays several instruments. I mean, the guy's a G.
Yeah. So, that's funny. Are you going to watch Father of the Bride?
I probably am, because I'm Andy Garcia, though.
Yeah. I never forgot. Andy Garcia, one of his best movies, The Lost City.
Yeah.
So just going back to our Cuban heritage, guys, like, if you've never seen it and you're Cuban, watch it. If you're not Cuban and you want to know what it was like for our families getting out of the communist regime, watch it.
That's a good movie.
It provides the best context. Like, I remember watching it with my mom and dad, and, like, they were just quiet. Like, I remember them crying.
My grandparents, too, yeah. And the music is excellent in that film.
Yeah. You give it all up for a better life for future generations.
Yeah. That's what it's about. It's
insane. And then you have some schmuck yelling your name in a freaking movie theater.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how you know you made it, man.
Yeah. I swear to God, if anybody ever yells out our names, I'm going to be like, Paul, that's payback.
Dude, if we're ever walking a con, man, and somebody starts yelling, George, Jimmy, Paul, I'll be like, up?
Just yell it, guys. We'll run to you.
Just yell, just, Jimmy, I love you.
We'll do a slow motion run to you guys. So, guys, well, that was our first ever summer movie blockbuster preview. Let us know what you're hyped for. Let us know what you want to watch. Let us know if you want to watch a movie with us.
Hey, I'm down.
Local people, we'll go watch it together. Fuck it.
I'm down.
So,
Paul, bring the popcorn.
Yeah.
And he won't yell your name in the movie theater.
With a hole in the bottom, so, you know.
Oh, my God. I'm not sitting next to you.
Just plenty, put lots of hot butter, guys.
No, plenty of butter, yeah.
Plenty of butter. All right, guys, with that, till next time, we're out.
Hot butter. Oh, my God.
You gotta let the butter, you gotta let the butter cool, bro.
No, it's just going hot.
That's funny. Don't get popcorn from Paul, guys.
Don't get popcorn from Paul.